I want y'all to pray with us, continue to pray for us as we are going to Flow Baptist Church there in Buffalo to preach a three-day meeting there on, it's going to be June the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and then going to Brother Gary's on July the 20th and 21st, preach a evangelistic meeting as well. So pray about that for me, and that God may use me there and to those churches, and may I be a help to them as well. All right, so I just want to bring that to you. So I want you to pray for me, okay? And I know that you will. All right, my brother, you come and you preach to us, okay? All right.
Now, I noticed you took a picture of Brother George.
You know what? I wanted to take a video, but I was so... Did you write that?
No.
Oh, okay. He was planning... Oh, you did? Man. That's a great song, and I was really enjoying it so much. And then it dawned on me, record that, you dummy. But that was really a blessing. And thank you, Brother George. And I wanted to videotape that. And so it just caught the tail end. Anyways, real good. It was real good. Church, I love you. Thank God for you. And I'm very, very grateful for the privilege to share a little bit. And these are very special times for me, wonderful memories. We're going to look back, and you know, it's really wonderful
to have friends. I really appreciate the spirit in the church, brother. I really do. I enjoy being here, and folks are normal. You know, it's a blessing. Amen. And got to fellowship with Pastor a little bit, and in the fellowship hall there. It's just been a wonderful day. Thank you again for lunch, my brother, and appreciate y'all taking care of me. And it's just really a blessing to be here. So I'm excited, and I'm really looking forward to next week too already. And so, but these are precious days, and the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. You know, when all these things, I don't know who said this, is not part of the message, but someone, I didn't coin it, this someone said, if it's getting worse, we're getting close. Amen. So we think of the coming of the Lord, and praise God for that. But really, you know, that is really just the beginning. You know, the Bible talks a lot about the pledge of his dominion. Jesus Christ is going to rule on this earth for 1,000 years. And then after that, the eternal state. And we don't hear a lot of preaching on the millennial kingdom. But that's precious. Revelation 11:15 says, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. We have a lot to look forward to. Amen. Praise God. All right, that's not the message, but it's just been a real joy to be with you today. And I'm looking forward to next week. Do y'all remember the account of Jesus sleeping in the boat during that storm on the sea? And he arose and said, peace be still. Do you remember that? Now, among all of the many lessons we can take from that story and that passage of Scripture is this. It's really, really important to have Jesus in your ship. Amen right there. Now, among many things, the smart Bible scholars tell us that the ship is a type of the New Testament church. Now, when we have missions conference or missions emphasis as a church, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of ship do we want to be? Do we want to be a cruise ship where we're catering to everyone's wants and desires? Or do we want to be a battleship that's involved in the war? Amen. During missions emphasis or missions conference, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of Christians do we want to be? someone rightly said, Christianity is not a spectator sport. We need to ask ourselves, do we want to be spectators or do we want to be soldiers? Do you know that the Bible, the Word of God, tells us that God has selected all of us to be soldiers? Did you know that? 2 Timothy 2:3-4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, notice, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the Old Testament to 1 Samuel 17. This idea of warfare, this idea of being selected, chosen by God as soldiers, you know, at the end of a desperate war, a good soldier can be at peace and can hold his or her head high. Why? Because when their country needed them, they went to war, they fought in the war, and they stayed in the war until it was over. Amen right there. 1 Samuel 17, if you'll stand in reading of the Word of God, honor the Word of God tonight. 1 Samuel 17, we're going to read 3 verses tonight. This will be our launching pad, and I'm so excited. 1 Samuel 17, verses 17 through 20. The Bible says, "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle." The title of the message tonight is, Why Did David Go to the Battlefield? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for Pastor Lafreniere and all of the wonderful, precious people of Glory Baptist Church. We do pray, Heavenly Father, that you will grow this church. Lord, that you will bless this church. Father, thank you for a church that loves the Word and loves you and loves one another. Please, Lord, bless this time in your Word. Magnify thy Word. Exalt thy precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, please help us, every heart, every person that's here tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. Why did David go to the battlefield? Number one, David went to the battlefield to obey his father's command. His father sent him. Notice these words in verse 17. "And Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren." Do you see the command? Amen. We are living in a day, and it's sadly a fulfillment of prophecy, treacherous or perilous times. We are living in those days when children do not want to obey their parents. Pastor, I think Bruce preached a message one time when he said, when children are at home, they are to obey their parents. When they leave home, they are to honor their parents. But we are living in a day when children do not want to obey their parents. Now, it's the craziest thing, because when I was in the military, it never, ever would have dawned on me to disobey the command of the squadron commander. No one would have ever, we don't care what the colonel says, we are not going to do that. No, when the colonel said, you're going to do this, and this is how you're going to do it, and this is where you're going to do it, and this is when you're going to do it, he got a salute, and we said, yes, sir. Amen right there. We obeyed the command of our commander. But we're living in a day when children struggle to obey their father's command or their parents' commands. But David was not like that. David obeyed his father's command, and his father's command was to go. Amen. Now, David could have disobeyed his father. He could have made excuses for why he couldn't go to the battlefield. David could have said, now, Father, listen, I'm the youngest. You know I'm the youngest of all the brethren. Why are you sending me to the battlefield? Why are you doing that? I'm the youngest. I've got older brothers. Father, I'm keeping your sheep. Why do you want me to leave the sheep? I'm doing your will where I am right now. Why do you? No, but David didn't do that. He obeyed his father's command. His father sent him, and he obeyed. Now look at verse number 15. It says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Do you see that? David had already gone to the battlefield before. Now his father wanted him to go to the battlefield where Saul was and where his brethren were. So he didn't use that as an, Father, I've already been one time. You want me to go again? And David said, yes, I'll go. So, parents, don't say amen right here. But isn't it frustrating when our children do not obey? It's frustrating. It can be very frustrating. Amen. Now, I'm not going to tell you my age, but I will tell you the two digits I do use in my age, 3 and 5. If you want to say I'm 35, praise the Lord. Amen. Lord bless you for that. But anyway, I use those two digits. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is, you know, even though I am that age, I'm still a child. And if my father commands me to go to the battlefield, I should not say, well, Lord, Father, why don't you put it on pastor's heart to go here? Why are you putting that on my heart? Lord, why are you putting it on my heart to give? Why don't you put it on sister so-and-so's heart to give? Father, when I get out of debt, I'll be involved in missions. I'll pray, I'll pay, I'll participate. When I retire, Lord, I, God knows all of that. You know, he knows that. But he wants us to obey him. And that's what David did. David obeyed his father. His father sent him. And so we are sent as well. Mark 16:15, you probably know it. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. Now, many people want to be involved in missions, praying, paying, participating. They want to be involved because they have love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that a good thing? Sure, that's a good thing. 2 Corinthians 5:14-15, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Out of love. Amen? Some people are involved in missions because it's a privilege. What a privilege to advance the gospel. Amen? There's one little problem with being involved in missions solely because we believe it's a privilege or we love the Lord. Do you know what the little problem is? Someone can come into our lives and hurt us, or tragedy strikes, and guess what? Our feelings and our thoughts from love and privilege can fade away. However, if we do it solely or primarily, should I say, because we want to obey him, that's how we need to be involved in missions. Amen. So in missions, whether it's paying, praying, participating, we should do it mainly because God told us to do it. Now look at verses 13 and 14. It says, "And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle, and the names of his three sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next unto him, Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul." Do you remember how many were in this family? Weren't there eight sons? Am I mistaken? Someone help me with that real quick. Sounds about right. Huh? What did he say? I can't hear. All right, so that sounds about right. Okay, now it's interesting. So David had older brothers that went to the battlefield, and they are named. But David also had some younger, or rather other older brothers that did not go to the battlefield. I'm assuming they stayed home. Now, isn't it interesting that God wanted to preserve the names of those brethren of David that went to the battlefield? And he did not name those that remained home. I think that's interesting. Amen. I think it's telling that God doesn't mention them. So, what's the lesson? The lesson is, I want to have my name written down. When it came to the battlefield, the battle for the lost, I want God to write my name down. Kevin prayed, he paid, and he participated. Someone say amen. Now turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Hold your place here. Excuse me, hold your place here. And let's go to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Familiar verses, but let's look at something here. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have," what's the next word? "Commanded you." And lo, this is what I want us to look at. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Someone say amen. So among many things that we can take out of these couple of verses, we take away this. Jesus has final authority. Yes. Amen. And he has final authority. Therefore, his command is final. The problem is, it's hard to obey. Do you find it hard to obey the Lord sometimes? If we were to turn to Hebrews, I believe it's chapter number 5, it says that Jesus, the Son of God, had to learn obedience. He learned obedience through suffering. Now, if the Son of God has to learn obedience, in other words, to be completely submissive to the will of his Father, what does that tell me? I have to learn obedience as well, right? Why did David go to the battlefield? To obey his father's command. His father sent him. All right, let's go back to 1 Samuel 17. Notice, secondly, why did David go to the battlefield? To support his brethren. To support his brethren. Look at verse number 18. It says, Jesse is speaking, "Carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge." Do you see that? So, Jesse says, son, I want you to go to the battlefield. Now, when you go, I want you to stop by HEB. Get you a bunch of rotisserie chickens. Amen. The spicy ones. Praise the Lord. All right. I want you to get some bluebell. Get a lot of bluebell. Your brethren love bluebell. Can I get a witness right up in there? Get you some brisket. Get it all. And I want you to go to the battlefield. I want you to go see how your brethren are doing. How are they doing, son? Get a report and then come back and tell me how they're doing. Why did David go to the battlefield? To support and encourage his brethren. Are you picking up what we're throwing down right up in there? The lesson is, whether it's supplies, encouragement, whether it's an email, or whether it's a visiting missionaries, whether it's supplies, whatever it is, our brethren, the missionaries, they need us. They need us. You remember the story in 2 Samuel 11 of Uriah the Hittite. Do you remember that story? Do you remember David said to Joab, the general, he said, I want you to put Uriah the Hittite to the most violent part of the battle. You remember that? The hottest and most violent part of the battle. Then I want you to withdraw the armies from him so that he dies. Do you remember that story? And so what happened? The army withdrew their support, and Uriah the Hittite was killed in battle. Sometimes missionaries are like Uriah the Hittite. They are in the heat of battle. They are trying their best to advance the gospel. Amen. And churches back home, they withdraw their support. All the while, the missionary is there battling discouragement, loneliness, and the attacks of the devil. Amen. But we want to be a support to our brethren. We do not want to withdraw it. In whatever form it takes, whether it's visiting, whether it's financial, whether it's a note, a card, an email, a phone call. Can I get a witness right there? Okay, let's go to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers 32, look at verses 4 and 5. The Bible says, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. So two tribes, Gad and Reuben, didn't want to support their brethren as their brethren were going into the promised land. They didn't want to fight the battle going in. By the way, aren't you glad we don't have to fight our way in the promised land? Yes, like they did. Amen. Jesus fought the battle and won it for us. Praise God for that. Don't have to fight our way in. Praise the Lord. But so the tribes of Gad and Reuben, they said, now listen, this is the KMV, Kevin Murdoch version. Moses, we got a great cattle business. You don't understand. This thing is booming. This thing is really taking off. It's a great business. And to be honest with you, we don't want to support our brethren, the other 10 tribes going in, because it's just not convenient. Now, look at verse number 6. And Moses said unto the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, notice, shall your brethren go to war and shall you sit here? Seriously? Is that what you're telling me? You're going to let your brethren do the fighting? You're going to let them make the investments? You're going to make them spill their blood, fight the battles, That ain't right. You know, if David had said that, well, you know, Dad, listen, I love you, Dad, but my heart's with you, right? My heart's with you, but I'm not going to the battlefield, and here are all the good reasons why. Jesse could have said, really? You mean your brethren are going to go to the battlefield and you're not going? That's not fair. If God says, Kevin, I want you to go to the battlefield, and I make excuses why I could not, should not go, the Lord could say to me, shall your brethren go to battle and you not go? That's not right. Amen. Look at verse number 7. And wherefore, or why discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? So, a lot of times, missionaries, they are leaving behind homes, careers, families, etc. So, whatever form our support takes, praying, paying, participating, whether it's the finances, whether it's an email, whether it's visiting them, whatever it is, we have to continue to support our brethren. That's what David did. I want to be like David. David went to the battlefield. Why? To support his brethren. Amen? Look at verse number 19. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 17. I told you to keep your place, I hope. 1 Samuel 17. Why did David go to the battlefield? Because he wanted to fight alongside his king. This was the battle of David's king. Look at verse number 19. It says, now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David respected his king, and he was going to do what his king was doing. David said, listen, if my king's in it, I'm in it. Praise the Lord. That's what a battleship does. That's what a soldier does. A soldier says, my king's in the fight, I'm in the fight. All the way. Praise the Lord. So when we support missionaries, we're putting the church, we're putting Glory Baptist Church on the battlefield. Praise God. Amen. Why? Because that's where the king is. And every missionary y'all support, you are fighting with your king on that battlefield. Praise God. I noticed one missionary on there, and I think I mentioned him before, who does work in Asia. Oh, wow. Wow. King Jesus is on that battlefield. And Glory Baptist Church is on that battlefield. Because you support him. You help him. You love him. Pray for him. Amen. What a great missionary he is. By the way, he's invited me to go back when all the insanity and the lockdowns and all that stuff kind of calms down. And I can't wait to go. Amen. Hey, listen, King Jesus is fighting on every continent. I want to go. Praise the Lord. Now look at verse number 19 again, church. Read verse number 19, just as a side note. David was with his king. But church, where was the king? What? Somebody said it. What? Somebody said it. Where was David's king? Where was he? Someone said it. Read verse 19. Someone said it. Where was the king? Okay, he was in the fight. Yeah, amen. Listen, I'm simple-minded. I am not sophisticated and cerebral or intellectual. This is really super simple. This is not philosophical. This is literal. This is literal, beloved. Where was David's king? The valley of Elah. You're like, yeah, so? David was with his king. Where was his king? In the valley. The valley of Elah, but the valley. Now, church, what does the valley symbolize in the Word of God? It symbolizes a place. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Valleys are places that are dark. They're discouraging. King Jesus, sometimes his battles are in the valley. Valleys are tough, beloved. Can I get a witness right up in there? Have you ever been in a valley? Now, we talked about Matthew 28 in that scripture. I almost jumped ahead of myself, but in Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. So sometimes when we are on the battlefield, it's in the valley of Elah. However, Jesus says, I'm with you always. And it says, even until the end of the world, someone say, amen. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That word always, this is one of the many reasons why I love the King James Bible. It is interesting, and I thought for years, that why didn't they just put the little S on there? Lo, I am with you always. Now, and it's in there. You know, always is in there. So Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always. Now, always can mean always with regard to time. But always, do you know what it means? If you look in Webster's 1828, is that what it is? Is that the one? You know what it says? You know what all the always means? It means all the way. So Jesus, I'm with you all the way. That's a real blessing. Here's the thing. David went to the battlefield to fight alongside his king. Now, I want to do that too. I want that to be my pledge. Pastor said this, I may refer to it here in just a minute, but Pastor said, listen, if I'm the only one, I want to be like, I'm the only one, Lord, that will serve you. That's okay with me. Something to that effect. Well, here's the thing. I want to give that pledge to my king. Lord, I'm with you all the way, even until the end of the world. I want to be with him all the way. Praise God for that. Here's the thing. If you're not in the missions fight, get in it. If you got out of the missions fight, get back in it. If you're in the missions fight, go higher. Now, here's what I love about what Pastor said, and I was trying to remember the wording, but something to the effect of, listen, I want to think of myself as the only one that God can use. Lord, if I'm the only one, just use me. I like that thinking right there. That desire to be used by God, that's a very, if I can say this, lofty thing. That to me is wanting to go higher to be used of God. I remember when I was in the military, making promotion was everything. I remember when I got a couple of promotions and how ecstatic I was. Now, one time I was having a meeting with my commander. He was a lieutenant colonel. And I was there when he got the phone call from a 2-star general that he had been promoted to full bird colonel. Oh, man, was he excited. He was absolutely ecstatic. Let me tell you something. That's nothing. It is greater to say, I want to be used of God. I want to do more. Pray, brother, this is good. Amen. Why did David go to the battlefield? Because it was the battle of his king.
Matthew 25, 21 says, and his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler
over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That beats full bird kernel any day of the week. Praise God for that. All right, finally. Why did David go to the battlefield? Look at verse number 24. Because the people needed him. They needed deliverance. Notice verse number 24. Verse 24 says, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Goliath of Gath, the Philistine, was in, by the way, he's a type of Antichrist. Well, we could really flush a lot of things out with this wicked man. But here the men of Israel, all the men of Israel, they fled. They were sore afraid. You get the idea that they were kind of terrified? You know, the Bible talks about, you know, they hid in dens and caves of the earth. I can imagine all the men of Israel, they were absolutely terrified of this man, and so they were in hiding. Brother, we think they're oppressing us now because they want to force people to wear some face paper. That ain't nothing compared to what these people faced. Read the book of Judges when it says they sorely oppressed the Israelites. Are you kidding me? Good grief. Now, what we are seeing is kind of a little taste, if you will, of what's to come. But brother, you talk about oppression back in the day. Oh man, they had it. They were absolutely terrified. Now jump down to verse number 51. Look at verses 51 and 52. It says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine. David is a type of Christ. Can I get a witness? And stood upon the Philistine, who is a type of Satan, the Antichrist, and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. But when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Now notice, church, verse 52, and the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and the gates of Ekron, and the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaaraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. There's something has happened here. Something has happened. All the men of Israel fled. All the men of Israel were terrified. What's happening now? Now all the men of Israel and Judah, they shouted. They were pursuing their enemies now. Something has happened. David delivered them. Hallelujah! He slew Goliath, cut off his head. Praise the Lord. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Someone say amen right there. So yeah, David cut off his head. Now the people shouted. Now they were shouting. They were experiencing victory. They came out of their holes where they were hiding. They didn't have fear. Why? Because they had been delivered. They were free right now. They needed David. Hey, thank God David went to the battlefield because he delivered his people. Now we could preach a little while here on that one, that star out of Jacob, amen, the line of the tribe of Judah, but praise the Lord for that. So this is all foreshadows of what is to come. But they were freed. Their fear was gone. Hallelujah. Now let's kind of bring this to missions now. Why did David go to the battlefield? To deliver his people. The story is told of a boy. I heard this story firsthand. He said, life for me when I was a child was hell on earth. He said, my parents screamed at each other every single day. My dad had other women on the side, didn't hide it. My dad drank every day, didn't hide it. He said, the more religious our family became, the deeper into sin we sunk. And then he said, but one day, a missionary came from your country. We didn't ask him to come, but he did. We didn't ask him to preach the gospel, but he did. And his family stayed, and we didn't want them to stay, but they did. Amen. And he said, it took a while. It took a while. He said, and then one day, my mother got saved. And it wasn't too long after that. And he said, my father, and he said, the day our father was saved, the sun rose in our family. He became a changed man, and he stayed changed. That's what happens, preacher. He stayed changed, and he was a light and testimony to all of us. The man who told this story is the son of that man who got saved, who is a preacher and pastor in Mexico. And I tweaked a few things, but this is basically his outline. I heard him preach this message, or this outline.
Why did David go to the battlefield? And through this man, countless people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God, like David, thank God, that missionary, whoever that missionary family was, thank God they went to the battlefield.
Yes, it might.
You can shut your Bibles, church. We're done. Church, there are two kinds of unsaved people. Those that are in hell and those that are still on earth. For the unsaved people in hell, there is absolutely nothing we can do to reverse their doom. But all of the unsaved people still on earth, they have a chance. What kind of ship does Glory Baptist Church want to be? I believe your prayer is we want to remain a battleship. We are going to be soldiers, amen, in the epic war of all time. And when the end of that war is over, we as Glory Baptist Church, we want to present ourselves as soldiers selected that said, you called us, Lord. You called us to go to war. We fought in the war, and we remained in the war until it was over. Amen. Praise the Lord. God help us to be like David. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the great privilege. What a mighty man David was. A man with faith, and because of God, fearless. I can't imagine. I just can't imagine what the battlefield might have looked like. I can only imagine the fear that the people felt so much that they ran. But Lord, I know that a little kid
with a sling and just a couple of stones, through the power of God, brought down the greatest enemy that Israel had at that time. And I believe that many victories are still ahead for us. And so, Lord, I believe Glory Baptist Church has been in the fight. And Lord, they want to continue the fight. Do more in the fight. Lord, I do pray that you would allow them to see some fruit, yes. I would ask that they would be able to see some new victories. But sometimes warfare, Lord, is taking one step forward and two steps back. Sometimes it's lots of training. Sometimes there's some fear. Sometimes there's victory. Warfare is not pretty. It's hard work. But Lord, this church, if I can say it this way, Lord, this church is in it to win it. I sense their spirit. I see this pastor's heart and the people that want to pray and give and participate in whatever area, God, you want us to be all in. I pray that we would be all in. King Jesus is in the fight. We want to be in the fight, all in. Help us to overcome our fear. As one young man said to me this morning, it's not a sin to be afraid. We just don't want to stay afraid. Amen. The Bible says, through God, we shall do valiantly. It is He that will tread down our enemies. Actually, Lord, the unsaved are not our enemies, really. They're working for the enemy. We just want to convert them and bring them to our side. We want to take them off the battlefield, not as casualties, but as conquered souls for Jesus Christ. So, Lord, thank you again for this time, short time, little Bible study in your word. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting us with the great privilege of sharing the gospel, whether by voice, whether door to door, whether by gospel tract. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor's coming here in just a moment. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Just ask the Lord, God, what is the next step for me? What is the next step for me? And we already learned this morning, it's doable. It's needful. It's certainly blessable, but it's doable. What is the next step for us? Maybe the next step for you is saying, you know what? I need to join the Lord's army. I'm not sure I'm a part of the family. I'm not sure if I've got on the uniform of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if I'm on the winning side. But man, I want to make that certain tonight. Oh man, I want to get it settled. I see the epic war going on. Jesus Christ is King. He's going to be victorious. And right now, while I have the chance, I want to say, yes, I want to join the Lord. And by the way, He has His arms open wide, but He made it so that everyone has to make their own individual choice. God is a gentleman. He's not going to force us to give our lives to Him. Paul said, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. What did Paul commit unto Him? His life. Why don't you do that if you haven't done that? Maybe that's your next step. Maybe it's baptism, I don't know. Maybe it's just a daily devotion, reading the Bible. Whatever it is, we've said enough now. So let's obey the Lord. Father, thank you again for this time to be in your word. Thank you again for Pastor and for all of these precious people, each one here tonight. Separate us from the world, Lord, and separate us unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
need to come to the altar tonight and pray, it's sure open to do so. And as we just be obedient to the Lord as He has spoken to your heart. Now tonight, if God hasn't spoken to your heart, I'd be much concerned. I'd be really asking God, why am I leaving out of here not touched, not spoken to, not dealt with, not worked upon? God, help me tonight. But if God has done something in your heart, I pray that you'd move toward Him. Wherever that may be, it may be falling down at your pew, it may be coming to the altar, it may be humbling your heart before the Lord, maybe saying to Him, Lord, I need to do better, I need to do more, I need to go further, I need to be more than what I am. That's surely my prayer tonight, to be more than what I am. I need and I want, I desire to be more and do more. You sing, Brother George. If you need to come, you come. We'll not tarry tonight. You come as the Lord leads you. You be obedient. You be sensitive. Let's get serious and sober about these things of God. It won't always be here. This won't always last. Yes, amen. He is Lord. See, the Lord of your life? Is He in charge of who you are? When you get up in the morning, is Lord in charge? Is He King of the day? Is He the Prince of your heart? Could you say to yourself, hey, He's the wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's who He is to me. Yes, amen. I pray that every one of us would have a relationship with Christ. That's where salvation is imparted, is that a relationship. Amen. I was thinking about them boats, Brother Kevin. And I was thinking about, of course, my mind and my imagination just kind of goes crazy. But I thought about a pontoon boat. Is the church a pontoon boat? And I thought about them pontoon boats. If you ever go to the lake anywhere, you'll find those pontoon boats just going real slow, moving real. And they usually have a lot of people on it. They're partying. And they usually stop over by the lowest end or the shallowest part, and they'll have two or three or four of them there, and they're just partying. They're taking it easy. I mean, life is good. It's everything's fine. We've got our beer. We got our tea. We've got our friends. We got life. We got our pontoons. I mean, there's not much but just relaxation. I wonder if that's what Glory Baptist Church could be. We're just a pontoon. But I thought, on the other hand, I thought of another boat. I thought of a speedboat. I thought about a boat that would just go fast. You know, they're here, they're gone. You don't see them anymore. They're just all over. It's about playing. It's about sportsmanship. It's about having fun. It's about going fast. It's about how much we can do. How fast that my boat goes, and how quick can we do. And I thought, is that the church? Are we a speedboat? Everybody's individually in the way of competition. We're seeing how fast that we go. We're trying to be number one. We're trying to be better in this and that and others. I thought about another boat. I thought about a flat bottom boat. One that has to use a pedal. Now, you ever seen those? One on each side, you know, you just kind of, and you just oar, and when you get, it just takes effort to get there. It just takes energy. You're sweating. I mean, you just, and you're not going very fast, and you're not going very far. Very few can be in a flat bottom Not many. Mm. You don't find people in those kind of boats partying anywhere. You don't find them speeding in it either. I mean, they're not going to ask you, hey, you want to race? I mean, they're wore out. Mm. They're all sweaty. I mean, they're frustrated. Is that the kind of boat that Glory Baptist Church is? We're just frustrated. Mm. We're just wore out. I mean, we're not getting anywhere. We're just sweating and things. Is that the kind of boat we are? Mm. Now, I want to say that we're that fighting, that boat that's in the battle, right? What'd you call it?
Battleship.
That battleship. That's what I want to say we are. Mm. Amen. The other boat was what he mentioned, and that was the boat where you go and it's big and it's wide and it's long and everything's given to you, everything's provided for you. You can eat as much as you want to all night long. You can go swimming, you can go fishing, you can do everything's available. It's a wide open thing. It's a casino thing. It's a comic deal. I mean, I've never been on a cruise ship, but man, from what I understand, it's another world in itself. I promise you we're not that. But that is what a lot of the world's churches are. I guess tonight is a good analogy. I wonder if we can leave out of here tonight with that thought. What ship are you? Now, we might be high, mighty, and we might be spiritual and say we are that ship that's a battleship. But let's get real. What are we?
That's good.
Are we a baton boat, a flat bottom, speed boat, fishing boat? Mm. Are we really that fighter? Mm. Help us, Lord. Brother Charles, will you dismiss us tonight, my brother?
Okay.
I'm glad you decided not to go. You're not going to be here next week, right?
Right.
Right. And who are you taking with you?
Lucas and Eli.
Who?
Eli.
Just Eli?
And Lucas,
okay. Wow, y'all going to have fun. Y'all going to work down there, right?
Yeah.
I'm liking it already.
Oh,
I do, man. I really do. I want to see that place down there. Anyway, brother, y'all be careful, okay, when you go. And y'all be back the next week or so?
I don't know. But he's got some time off until, like, July. So.
Oh, you'll be back in July?
Well, it depends.
There you go.
We still have to work it out.
Lord. I wish I had some time like that, huh?
Oh, wow.
Take off in May, come back in July?
I'm not taking off. I have to do my work while I'm
there. Oh, yeah. Okay. I misunderstood. Thank you, Brother Charles. I appreciate you, my brother, and your family. And we hope you have a great time, and we'll see when you get back, okay? You dismiss us tonight.
Lord, we heard your message, and thank you for showing us in your word that we can be ones that will be helpful for missionaries in many ways, like David. Thank you.